fall into big savings, all in the Kroger app.
Get packs of juicy red, green, black, or tri-color variety seedless grapes for $3.99 each. Then get tender boneless chuck roast or steaks for $4.99 a pound, all with your card and a digital coupon. Shop these deals at your local Kroger, less than 5 miles away. Or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to Wrestling Art with Chris Things.
Do the hammer.
Welcome back to a little bit of Wrestling Art with Chris Things. I am your host, Chris Things Brian, and stoked to finally have another Wrestling Art Curator edition of the show for you. That being the one where I have a little chatsky to, you know, other rad wrestling artists from all around the world. It'd been a little bit longer than I would have liked since our last artist chat. Sometimes it could be hard to line these things up. You have to work with people's availability. I'm based here in bloody Australia, so that probably doesn't make it that easy for some people, but we made it happen, and this one's pretty cool. Last time, a previous occasion, I can't remember when I said what, but I think there's a point where I was talking up Jonathan McBurney's upcoming art show that was in Brisbane, and I was very excited about that, and you know I went along to the opening night. It was at Merivale Studios here in Brisbane, or South Brisbane area, and man, it was so cool. Got to see little of Jonathan's work in person, which was super cool. You know, for those of you who may not be aware, a bit of a while back we had Jonathan on the podcast as one of our early wrestling artist guests, and I thought we had a wonderful chat that first time. Had some really I thought maybe more intellectual discussion than you do a lot of the time when you're talking about wrestling, but I get into that. You know, I find that that really fun. So, you know, hopefully other people liked it. But yeah, so of course I was going to come along and get to see Jonathan's stuff in person, and I was wowed. Super cool to see, wonderful show. But then a really cool thing that came out of the blue was Jonathan was wrapping up the show. We were chatting a little bit, and he said, "Please come by. Let's have a bit of a chat." And I said, "Hey, you want to do another little one of these podcasts?" And he's like, "Yeah, man, let's do it." So that's what we did, and we got to do a in person chat here that I'll be leading on to in a little bit. So yeah, at the in person at the Truth Fugitive and Imponderable solo show of Jonathan's, we got to have a chat all about the show. A bit about wrestling art, a bit about, you know, art shows in general, making art in general. I think it's a really fun chat. So looking forward to you guys getting to listen to that one. And yeah, it was super cool to actually get to do in person. So that I don't know if that'll add a different kind of like tone to it for you guys. But either way, a lot of fun. Stoked on that. In the meantime, and it's a little intro bit. I normally do my intro monologue, go on about what's happening in the world of Chris Things, and yeah, man, it's been a fair bit. I've spoke a little bit in the past about my busy schedule I've been planning out for later in the year. I'm not sure if I mentioned it on the last podcast or in my letter, my newsletter, this past week, but it was somewhere. But I was talking about how I sort of had this September mapped out with an exciting new book project. So, man, that's something I thought would be an interesting chat here. Long story short, as happens sometimes, that did not end up happening. I think it would have been a really cool thing, but not meant to be. I guess I've pivoted my energies. It's actually probably been for the best, because I have so stoked on the amount of commission work that I'm getting to work on at the moment. So I've also got, you know, a bunch of other things, for the portrait art show that I'm going to be taking part in, and quite a few things that'll be good to have a bit more time to put into those bits and pieces. But yeah, I thought it'd be good to come on here and talk a little bit about that, because honestly, you know, the morning when I woke up and I got the message that, you know, this project wasn't going ahead as we had envisioned, there was a massive pang of disappointment, of sadness, of thinking this is going to be a really big deal for me in the future, and then that just sort of like disappearing. But I am pretty stoked that, you know, I took that, I let myself have a little moment of being like, man, that is not the best. But, you know, I didn't let it get to me in a way where it really, really brought me down or derailed my productivity for this week. I made a choice to be like, all right, feel these emotions, deal with this, and then let's try to use that as motivation to make more cool things happen. And I'm pretty stoked about that. You know, I think I spoke a little bit in the past about sort of dealing with the various kind of like disappointments that we might have along our creative journey or art life or whatever we're doing, and the importance of being able to sort of dust yourself off and keep moving ahead. It was really, I felt really good about being able to sort of like take that advice a little bit for myself and actually, you know, let's do the thing. Let's not let it really get us down, as much as these things can. So I think there's a real power in sort of, I guess, being mindful and on it, in that we are in control of how we deal with these things. You know, you can have bad, well, not bad things, you know, little disappointments here and there. These things happen. They're going to happen, but you choose how to deal with it. You choose whether you're going to let that put you in sort of a creative slump, into a depression, you know, feeling sorry for yourself and that kind of deal. And I've definitely done that before. You know, I don't want to be making out I'm here on my high horse, and I'm, you know, this beacon of an example for everybody. I'm oftentimes can be more on the negative side sometimes with my self-talk and that kind of thing. But yeah, on this occasion, I'm pretty proud of myself that, you know, I did sort of channel it in a positive way. I think in these situations it's important not to kind of like just ignore and bury away these kind of feelings. Like, you kind of need to acknowledge them a little bit, feel it, and process it, and then move on. I feel like I did that. So I'm pretty happy about that. So yeah, an eventful week from that standpoint. I thought that was worthy of discussion. But yeah, sort of being able to then channel that into, you know, I feel so grateful that I've got some amazing clients right now that are wanting me to create art and illustrations for them. It really is that cliche of sort of, you know, one door closes or one window closes, another door opens, whatever it is. And yeah, I'm just grateful that I have, you know, some people that do want me to make stuff. And I never forget that is like, that's such a cool thing. You know, this is still a bit of me where I'm like, what? People want to pay for my nonsense? But yeah, no, I'm very grateful and you know, just jumping back into that and getting through some of that work and actually putting pen to paper and creating and all of that. That's where the fun happens. You know, there's going to be so much work that we put into in terms of trying to line up work and get work and all of the financial discussions and all that kind of stuff. But at the end of the day, you get to the making, that's the best part. So, yeah, I'm feeling pretty good right now. It's a bloody roller coaster, this art life. But yeah, all I can do is do my best. And that's what I'm focusing on right now. So I'm in a pretty good spot. So I hope all of you guys, you know, if there's some sort of bit of this where you can use that to try to sometimes choose how you react and how you respond to things, that can be a powerful thing. Just being mindful of that and keeping it in mind that you are, at the end of the day, in control of this stuff. So yeah. This is my words of wisdom. but yeah, I appreciate all of you. The reason I talk about this stuff is because I want you to be part of this journey. I wouldn't be here if it wasn't for, you know, people like you guys listening to this and supporting. So I want to make you part of it. And there might be less glamorous parts of this that are, you know, maybe shouldn't talk about, I don't know, but I think it's good that I do. Anyway, that's about it for that, and I am so stoked to get onto our artist chat here. Let's chop it up with Jonathan McBurney in person at his show. Very excited. All right, over to you guys in the actual studio. You want to just jump into it?
Sure.
Yeah, all right. So, ladies and gentlemen, this is a bit of a special one. So, I previously, I think my second ever wrestling art curator guest, or early on for sure, I was super stoked to have Jonathan McBurney on. And then, lo and behold, you've actually had a show here, a current exhibition solo show, Truth, Fugitive and Imponderable, here in just across the river where I live. I was able to be there for the opening night, and then I was able to come along, and we're here right now recording. Welcome to the show again.
Thanks a lot. Great to be here.
Oh, I was just saying how funny it is. We've got a little room here at the back of the gallery.
Yeah, Maryvale Studios, our very own, I don't know, podcast come office come lounge room.
This might be the most professional sounding audio I've ever had on the show. I guess we'll see.
We'll see.
But it's honestly a treat to get to do this in person, because yeah. So much of the time, you know, you do the Skype kind of thing. And it works, you know, well, and a lot of the time you have people across the other side of the world, so it's the only option.
Yeah, absolutely.
But there's something so much nice about being to have that, you know, in-person sort
for
of
sure.
deal.
For sure.
I mean, you sent me, when we were preparing for the first show, the link to the Rat's Nest that you were on.
Yeah.
And my gosh, that was such a fun chat.
Yeah, we went in with no plan for that, and those two just had really fun questions and observations. I think we spent half the time speaking about wrestling anyway. we didn't talk very much art, but it was a lot of fun. They're great.
Oh man, I feel like I really got on board that, like, with the you know, right at the tail end there, and then now sadly they're sort of on hiatus at the moment.
Hopefully they'll be back. They're good guys.
Yeah, I'd highly recommend that show for everyone. Just go through the archives. I've gotten onto some tremendous artists as a result.
Yeah, they because they're over in the States, you know, they've just got these amazing access points to all of these different crazy scenes, which is wonderful.
Yeah, it's I was wowed, honestly, for the opening night of this. You know, I've become a bit of a fan of your work. but it's again so nice to actually get to see it in person. And that's something I think's really special about, you know, I highly recommend everyone get out to all of the local art shows that you can and support, because there's something about interacting with the works in person and standing in front of them, and just that's so different to just looking at someone's gallery on a website or on Instagram, you know.
For sure. I think particularly these works that I've got in here, a lot of them are very new, done in the last few months, and they're done on transparencies and tracing paper and vellum. So you get a sense of them online, but there's a sort of almost a shimmer that happens in person, and the paper is constantly moving and changing slightly. It's just the nature of it, and it's really interesting to sort of gauge people's responses when they've been looking at them on Instagram or whatever, and they can suddenly see them in much more detail and in living colour, you know, and it's been a great experience.
Oh, and they're works that are so... I think the thing that stuck out to me when I was here, you know, I swear I spent probably, like, just an hour just, you know, like, walking around. I came with my, you know, partner and a friend, and, you know, we sort of did the chatty kind of thing. But then I just really wanted to do a loop of just on my own, being able to kind of spend a proper amount of time. and you're right, it's just something so cool about when you walk and you see the things on different angles well. That's part of it, and the works are like so dense, and especially, you know, the layering and everything. And I don't know, there's something that's really nice about the more time you spend with it, the more you're rewarded. If that makes sense.
That's nice. It is a bit of a right turn for me a bit in terms of the way I've been creating the images. Usually I create images with there's a plan to them, like I'll do a collage first and then work from that. And I will improvise a bit and problem solve as I'm doing it. Whereas with these works, it's very much, all of the thinking is sort of done in the very early stage of preparing the composition. And then I'm just going into a kind of zen mode, sort of zoning out and just, you know, doing these marks and really just sort of disappearing into it. I'll often listen to like a podcast or an audiobook or something while I'm doing it, and just sort of really kind of tune out a bit, and it's quite lovely.
Oh yeah, I think that's where the most magic comes, at least from me. You know, so I was very interested to talk to you about sort of the process of, you know, creating for a show like this. And I know for myself, I sort of, when I'm doing the art, I normally do it in a bit of a whirlwind. You know, if I have a solo show, and you sort of just need to surround yourself on all the things, and it's sort of almost to the point of sometimes like psychotic break, you know, where it's like you just sort of like lean into the I guess whatever it is, whatever that magic is, whatever that sort of like when you're fully in that mode, and it's that's when you get to be a bit playful, I guess, as well.
Absolutely. I find if I have a break, like if I'm not drawing for a week or two, say, I find it really hard to find that again. So I try to sort of not let it go too long. Even if I just do 5 minutes in the studio before work one day, it's still keeping your hand in it. And it's much easier to sort of, you're kind of keeping the engine idling instead of letting it cool down and then you have to warm it up again. So I'm a big believer of that. I really try not to let it cool anymore. it's just a disaster and I get frustrated and yeah, it doesn't work so well.
Really, yeah, preaching to the choir there. I guess an interesting thing that I'm constantly thinking about with this, with my art practice in general, trying to find a balance, you know, with the rest of real life and all the rest of it, can be hard. But man, especially when you're preparing for a solo show, to me, I think I've got to the point where I'm just like, that balance is going out the window no matter what.
Yeah. The balance is tough. Like, you know, I mean, 99% of artists have a day job or two. So yeah, it's ask just about any artist and they'll tell you how hard it can be to just not only balance work but just find time for those little normal things that everyone seems to get to enjoy in life. It can be a real challenge to find that ratio that's going to work and be productive as well. You know, to an extent, I find I have to kind of reverse engineer projects that I know I can tap into frequently. I might get to put a few hours into it one day, but other days I need to be okay with only being able to put an hour in or half an hour in. And yeah, trying to reverse engineer it so that you can do that, that can be challenging. Drawing is really great for that. That's the main reason I've largely moved. I still paint on occasion, but I've largely moved away from painting because there's a bit of a setup and a kind of cleanup involved every time. You can't just sort of drop your brushes without them going hard or, you know, crusting over or some, you know.
Oh, I feel so guilty here, the amount of brushes that I've ruined.
Oh, exactly. And they're like, oh God, another brush is dead, you know. So drawing has that advantage, which I do like. You can just sort of, oh, it's time to go, drop your pen, boom, you're done. Yep. You know, which is lovely.
Oh, for sure. I think that is always something for me. I struggle with feelings of guilt, I think, you know, a lot when I'm either, like, it comes from both sides. So I either feel guilty because I'm not putting enough into my art, especially when I have a show coming up.
Sure.
And I'm like, I should be just thinking about this 24/7. I should be doing everything. Mm. And then there's other times I go off the deep and then I feel guilty for being a bad boyfriend,
a bad friend,
all the other elements of my life.
Yeah.
So I'm like, this idea of balance is just so crazy to me.
I think it's a bit of a pitfall in the kind of stage we're at with, like, the world and capitalism and the way it works is that a lot of people do feel that they need to monetize the thing they love, which can be really dangerous. Mm-hmm. It can be great, but it doesn't work for everyone. And I think it's part of that kind of going, oh, I should be doing this or I should be doing that. And then, yeah, a lot of people have guilt when they do make work because they feel like it's somehow not, you know, it's not making a difference in the world or it's not helping the starving children of, you know, wherever. And I understand that, but also it's like, well, people that are just watching TV all the time, they're not feeling guilty about it. And that's fine. That's what they're doing. So why should you feel guilty about, you know, you're being productive, you're doing something that activates your brain and, you're putting something out into the world and that's a wonderful thing. It can be a hard one.
Yeah, I was just listening to an interview with Tim Minchin, I think, where he was talking about the importance of you know, there's so much stuff that we can expose ourselves to in the whole world of all of these awful things that are going on. And if you are constantly, you know, having that exposure to it, there's a certain point where you can't actually make a change.
Oh, absolutely.
You know, and all it's going to do is going to, you know, really bring down your emotional state.
Yeah.
So I think sometimes I try to be a bit more understanding with myself of like, all right, we do need downtime. We do
absolutely.
Need...
Absolutely, yeah. And, you know, it's also, you want to be the best person you can be for your immediate community as well, and the people you know and the people you love. And, you know, you want to be a reliable, you know, half with it functional human for them if you can. And I honestly think that this is part of that, you know, like it's kind of, for some people it is self-care, and for some people it is the way they have a voice, and for some people it is the way that they kind of process the world. And these are all completely valid things.
I mean, I guess a lot of those points are, you know, if you're right up for the show here, you know, that's what really sort of like hit home for me. You know, the idea that we, you know, there are so many things going on, and, you know, I guess it's our voice or our reactions to that. And yeah, for good, bad, or indifferent.
I was speaking to Pat Hoffey, who's an amazing artist who I urge everyone to check out. She popped in yesterday and she was just sort of unpacking the show a bit, and we were talking a bit about that. And it's this, I think she shares this with me, in that we both feel that, you know, art does have a place in this discussion. How valid it is, how kind of effective it is today, maybe we can't say. That's not for us to say, but there is a feeling that this stuff is important, and people having a voice is really important, whether that's political or whether that's through social media or whether that's through whatever outlet they have. Who knows? There's any variety of ways we can have a voice, but it is important that we feel heard and seen, I think. But it was a great chat. She's going to write something, I think, so I'm looking forward to seeing her response to the show.
Ooh, I would love to read that.
I'm not sure where it'll be yet. Possibly Lemonade Letters to Art, but I'm just not sure. So we'll soon see.
Yeah, cool. I'd love to know.
Fall into big savings, all in the Kroger app. Get packs of juicy red, green, black, or tri-color variety seedless grapes for $3.99 each. Then get tender boneless chuck roast or steaks for $4.99 a pound, all with your card and a digital coupon. Shop these deals at your local Kroger, less than 5 miles away. Or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
I mean, so I guess you've got a breakdown of both, like, responding to these things in sort of a you know, critical manner, or, you know, sort of a bit of a, you know, politically, you know, however, whatever you feel and that voice that you're saying. But there's also, I mean, I don't know if you feel this, but for me, a lot of the making art, I look at it in a very selfish way of, like, the creating for me can be therapeutic in and of itself.
Sure. Yeah, yeah, absolutely. I mean, I 20 years ago I had leukemia, and I did a lot of drawing that year, I probably filled, I don't know, 20, 30 journals or something.
Wow.
Just full of drawings and comics, and, you know, and it absolutely was a release, you know. It was sort of just something I could focus on outside of myself. And yeah, I read a hell of a lot of books that year. I listened to a hell of a lot of music and drew, and that those three things really kind of got me through it. Not, you know, I think I had a better run than a lot of people, but it's sometimes you need those sorts of distractions and things to focus on. You know, it's selfish in that you're enjoying it, I suppose, and that it has a functional aspect for you. But, you know, it's no more selfish than anything else that we do. You know, just because you're not necessarily being paid doesn't mean doesn't have value. You know, I'd argue maybe the opposite. You know, I love my job, but there are parts of my job that I feel like, you know, you just, oh my God, do I really have to do this? Like, not that it's, you know, you're sort of shocked at some of the things you have to do. But that's just it, you know, and there's plenty of things I do for nothing that to me are far more valuable. Mm. So, you know, it's that it's coming back to that balance again. It's a funny thing.
Yeah, the balance was mind-blowing to me when I was talking to you, you know, the opening night, and the idea that, you know, how you managed to do your own personal stuff while also, you know, doing all of your work at the, you know, Rockhampton Museum of Art. And gosh, I can't imagine being able to change hats like that. Like, how do you make that work?
Well, it's, I think maybe I don't change my hat.
Mm-hmm.
Really, like, I think maybe the way it works for me, it's like that, what I said about keeping the engine idling. That's what I'm doing when I'm at work.
Mm.
And I'm seeing all of this amazing work happening by amazing creative people. And for me, that it's just the engine's just going, you know, idling away. And I'm ready to go. I get home and I'm usually, unless it's been a particularly horrible day, I'm usually pretty inspired to do some work and or write something. Or so it's a funny balance. It's more difficult to negotiate yourself socially, I find, because a lot of the presentation work of a gallery, you know, like an opening or a talk or whatever, you are putting yourself forward in a capacity that's a bit different than as an artist. Socially, there's a social aspect to it, and so you need to be kind of, I call it kind of on, you know, you need to be on a lot more, and that can be a little bit draining because you want to be, you know, you need to be able to give anyone that wants a piece of you a piece of you, and make them feel like you know, really listen, really engage with them. You don't want to make them feel like, you don't want them to walk off and go, oh God, he was so phony, he was such a, you know, he was so full of it and he wasn't even listening. You know, so that can take a lot of energy, because you want to bring a sort of, I don't know, at least I want to bring a level of sincerity to that, and, you know, really do my best to actually engage with the audience and with the public. And when you're doing that, there is a slightly isolating aspect to that. When you're the leader of a small organization or a community, not that I feel like I'm a leader of a community, but, you know, there's a sort of a funny series of expectations around that, and so you do want to try and honor those as best you can, and that can be, that's where it takes a little bit of social energy. I think I'm a natural introvert, but I've trained myself very well to kind of deal in the extrovert's world, but I'll get to a point and I'm like, my social battery is done. And I'm like, I need to go into a cave and just draw for a week and like watch movies and listen to stuff and, you know, like just sort of recharge that thing. I think naturally I do enjoy isolation, at least periodically. So it's a funny thing. That is the challenge between, it's less the administrative tasks and the kind of creative curatorial tasks and things like that. Because I actually really love managing people and enjoy dealing with people for the most part. But the social thing can be a challenge. Yeah.
I mean, I guess part of that would have been, you know, that like opening night, for example. I guess what you've been used to these last couple of days of the exhibition.
Well, in a funny, that was actually fine because I could just be me.
Right.
I wasn't here as the director of a gallery. I wasn't here as a representative of a city council, you know? Whereas at work, I can't have a drink while I do those things. I can't be seen to be having a drink while I do those things. So, you know, it's just slightly more formal. You know, you need to have your welcome to country properly and sincerely thought through. You don't want to just... I would rather not do one than half-ass it.
Yeah.
You know, so things like that. So you just want to come at it with commitment and sincerity. And, it, you know, there are expectations that role has, that as an artist, I'm much more free. Mm. You know, the way I see it, I earn a really good living from my job, and that frees me up to make the art that I want to make, which is a wonderful privilege. And, you know, I know a lot of full-time artists, and they're amazing. But the grind can be real. You know, the pressure to sell when that is your primary source of income, that's tough. Even I'm talking Archibald-winning artists, it can be really tough in this country. So, you know, hats off to them. That's sort of how I kind of justify the work, the day job to myself. It's like, well, this allows me to sort of, it allows me that freedom, which I'm not very good at making, like, I'm terrible at commissions, because unless it's something really niche that I know I want to do anyway, it's, you know, I find it really hard. So, yeah, hats off to those guys, I say.
I struggle with it.
I'm
constantly feeling it's pressure.
Yep.
It's, yep. I mean, it's a lot of fun that is involved in it. Mm. You know, like, I love the commission work, and I'm lucky to where most of the people that come to me, you know, they're wanting my kind of stuff or something weird and wrestling related or whatever, and that's delightful. But yeah, there's those dry times or those times when I'll do like some sort of expo or whatever, or I'll be, you know, traveling different parts of Australia, and then you have your expenses and you have a certain amount that you're hoping for to cover it.
Yeah, totally.
And it can be such a stress, but I constantly have to just think of, like, all right, why are you doing this? You know?
I was stoked with this show. I covered my framing and I'm like, yes. I'm so happy about that, because that was a bit of a wake-up call. I hadn't framed any of my own work in about 10 years. It was like, oh my God. And don't get me wrong, got a really good deal, because the studio here has an arrangement with ProLab.
Nice.
They've done an amazing job. They gave me a really good discount. But, you know, you pay for quality.
Mm.
So I'm stoked that I've covered that.
it's so great. I think the combination of, like, framed pieces and then, like, the unframed kind of stuff, I thought was really cool. And, like, I personally, obviously, I'm going to love, like, the wrestling stuff.
Yeah.
And the way that's kind of, like, threaded through it.
Yeah,
I thought was so wonderful.
Kind of can't stay away, hey? Like, it just finds its way in.
But it's so fascinating that it's part of it and it's referenced, but it's not driving it necessarily. It seems like there's a bunch of sort of like influences and things that are all playing around
for sure,
but it's just sort of little nods here and there. And I thought that was really well done.
Oh, thank you very much. Yeah, the wrestling imagery, like, it just has something to like, there's just something about the melodrama of it and the figures, and I just can't get enough. Like, there's still a sort of a sense of wonder for it for me, because, you know, there's no special effects, there's no, you know, computer generated like explosions. It's all people and fireworks and props, and I just love that. There's something really, like, it could be a post-apocalypse tomorrow, but we'd still have wrestling. You know, like, that would be one of the first things. That would be one of the first art forms that we would see after a post-apocalypse, because you can, you know, it'd be like drawing. Drawing would be one of the first art forms you'd see, because anyone can do it with very little.
Mm.
And wrestling is the same. It's like this. You boil it down to these core elements. two people on a stage, basically, or a circle drawn on the ground, and away you go. You're off to the races. And that's, you know, there's something really timeless and remarkable about that. And I really think that that's why we keep kind of coming back to these sorts of images and myths and icons, you know. It's there's just something that really appeals to us on a really deep level in wrestling, you know. Like, I'm sure you could do a really interesting, you know, if you trace back the roots of it. I'm sure there's some really, really fascinating roots that will go right back, you know, earlier than the Greeks and Romans. And there's roots in every culture to this stuff. So, yeah, we might not have the records, but you can tell it's an ancient thing. Like, that, you know, there's little else that I can see such a straight line drawn right back through history.
Oh, for sure. And, like, you know, you mentioned the Romans, and, like, to me, even, like, obviously with the gladiator battles and things like that, I'm like, there has to be in a point where there's, like, the performative element of that.
Oh, totally.
It's like, you know, almost like in, you'd be here with hockey fights where guys are, like, a bit cooperating because they know people kind of want to see it.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Totally. There had to be, like, sort of a bit of a, all right, we're working together for this performance.
Well, and... you know, the Romans particularly, they were kind of great masters of, they would take beloved cultural aspects of all of these different cultures and kind of absorb it and reconfigure it for the masses. You know, they did that with so many things, and the gladiator fights, they would have absolutely been smaller kind of versions in various territories and various places that they went in, colonized, took over, and adapted, and went, oh, this could be a big thing. Let's go and, you know, they totally did that. I'm sure of it. I wonder if there's some research about that, because they must have surely done that with things like the gladiator contests and so forth. They certainly did it with religious holidays and with even the naming of days and festivals and all of that stuff. You know, they were masters of kind of co-opting and convincing different cultures, either by force or through other means, to kind of join up and get with the party, get with the program. You know, it's quite a fascinating kind of... And I suppose we still do it to an extent. You know, these things happen constantly in contemporary culture. Things are absorbed and co-opted and colonized and taken over, and, you know, it's sort
constant of... Constant appropriation.
Constant. So, yeah, wrestling, I'm certain that it would, you know, surely it would go back to two guys settling a hash and probably a couple more guys maybe putting bets on who's going to win or something like that, you know. Yeah, we can't help ourselves, I think, as a species and as a kind of crazy mammal that is all over this planet.
You know? I guess, yeah, all different cultures sort of like version of the storytelling and violence.
Absolutely.
I guess that's like things that Absolutely. Humans are never going to not love.
Exactly, yeah, storytelling, that's a very good point. I mean, what else is more ancient, you know? Yeah, we love to sort of take these ancient stories and put a modern spin on them and, you know, add figures that people can relate to, and yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, no, I think there's something really interesting about sort of, yeah, all different cultures' versions of takes on that. And
totally.
One of my favourite things about wrestling these days is just the amount of variety that we have available at our fingertips.
Yeah,
you know,
yeah.
I was just talking to Nathan about, you know, Argentinian wrestling and Titanus and El Ring and kind of amazing schlocky, campy, B-grade wonderfulness to, like, you know, Mexican wrestling, to Japanese Japanese wrestling to like history of Indian wrestling and French catch wrestling is one of my favorite things these days too.
Mm.
Also, so it's a fabulous variety. And you know, for the stuff that's threaded through the show here, you know, so much variety as well. First thing I walked in on the front door that I told you I absolutely loved, the Sheik. You know, all of the wonderfulness of the bloody wrestling of the Detroit and Kobo Hall, and I guess Japanese wrestling too. And then we've got the Destroyer, one of my favorite pieces as well. Just an iconic, you know, look of the mass wrestling thing. Vader, gosh.
The Destroyer piece has one of my favorite titles. It's called Punch War Nose, which I can't remember where I read that that phrase, but I thought, punch worn nose, that's a great phrase. Last trip to Japan, I went to Japan just before COVID, and I was very, very sad to not... I was going to go to a New Japan match in Tokyo, and I was so excited, but this typhoon came through that night. So
oh, gosh.
Couldn't leave the district and couldn't leave the house. And, yeah, that was a bit sad, because then I was back to Australia after that, but they've been doing some amazing stuff.
Oh yeah, I think there's a lot of really cool stuff going on in Japan at the moment.
Oh yeah,
but yeah, the history of it I think is my favorite part.
Yeah,
you know, one of the last times I got to go over, I got to see an actual a special tribute show to the Destroyer.
Oh wow!
So it was a whole big show, and
he must have gone over a lot and.
Oh, he was an institution. Right. You know, you talk about some of the most recognizable, faces, and you know, all over the Japanese game shows and the celebrity sort of side of
it. It's always interesting to see who spent a lot of time over there, and even Australia. A lot of people would come to Australia a lot, but that's so interesting. I didn't realize he was a sort of beloved figure in Japan.
Oh. Massive, so good. But I got to see they had a whole like sort of almost like a museum with his boots and the mask and the jacket.
Fantastic.
Oh, so good. But such an interesting character, and again, sort of like come back from the art sort of side of it.
Yep.
Just looking at that face, you know, and I guess the mask, but he's got face. That bloody nose. So much fun to draw.
Slight gap in his teeth, and he's just got such a particular face. I love it.
Oh. I highly recommend everyone out there, if you feel like watching some wrestling, look up some old Destroyer matches. I think there's something about it that brings us back to that sort of like the history of wrestling and just the most pure version of what wrestling can be when you watch the Destroyer.
It's
so good.
No, that sounds great. I even just his costume, very simple, but I love that costume. His mask is particularly good.
Oh, just so basic but so great. I remember reading that he just had it fashioned by... because this is probably before masks were so standardized in wrestling. Yeah. He actually had a seams person make it out of, like... They turned a jock strap into the
amazing.
Mask.
Oh, my God, that's great.
Yeah, so good. Oh, gosh. But, yeah, there's been such a treat. I really enjoyed getting to chat to you about the show.
Thanks for coming.
It's honestly a privilege of getting to have, you know, podcast. Like, at the end of the day, I really, like, the idea that people actually listen to it is kind of almost superfluous. I appreciate that you do, around listening out there. But, getting back to that selfish kind of thing, it just brings me a lot of joy that we get to have an excuse to have this kind of a chat.
Totally, totally. No, it's my pleasure. Thanks for coming in.
Oh, no, thank you very much. I would encourage everyone to come and see the show, but it'll be long gone by then. But
sadly, taking it down very soon, unfortunately.
Are there other things you can plug that people can come and support and enjoy your art?
I've got my Instagram, which is, the handle is Jonathan McBurney, and my website, if you Google Jonathan McBurney, it'll come up first thing. And hopefully I'll be having an exhibition next year down here in Southeast Queensland. It's not absolutely confirmed yet, but yeah, fingers crossed for March 2025, which beautiful. Will be a lot of fun. So
I definitely am looking forward to that one.
Yeah, sounds so great. Keep an eye out. Keep
yeah. Well, thanks so much, man.
Pleasure. Thank you.
Appreciate it. All right. Man, that that was so nice. I am so grateful to Jonathan for taking the time. You know, he's literally he was there at his art show. Still had a bunch of people in there looking around and appreciating it when I rocked up. Brought him a coffee. And we got to chop it up and talk some art, talk about the show, and I just feel really lucky in the sense that I have this little old podcast, and I hope you guys enjoy it. But it's such a cool thing to get to have that kind of chat with someone. Like a platform like that, like I don't think that would have happened if this this podcast wasn't a thing. So I'm happy that Wrestling Art with Chris Things exists. For my own personal selfish kind of deal, I'm enjoying it. I hope you guys are getting some sort of enjoyment out of it too. I hope these, if nothing else, these are conversations that I don't know where else they would happen. So, for better or worse, they're happening here. Thanks again, Jonathan. Everyone, be sure to be checking out Jonathan's stuff. I think it's such an interesting thing of having a lot of this wrestling kind of content that we love, but also bridging that gap into kind of the fine art world. I think it's a very interesting thing. Great times. I am very, very grateful for you guys to listen to this show, for your time, for your support. If you all want to be supporting me with this show, there's a variety of ways you can do such things. You can as little as just listening and recommending this show to a friend, subscribing to the iTunes feed. That always helps. I think there's a little donation button in there if you ever so feel like buying me a coffee. You can always do that. But outside of that, christhings.com.au is the place to be. That's my website. That's where I got all my stuff, my art, original paintings. Got a lot of art prints, t-shirts, mugs. Still some mugs on there. If anyone ever wants a mug, you can go on. I got the calendars. I think it's time that I get that 2025 calendar ready to go. I'm just so stoked when anyone does place an order or whatever. Always means a lot. So anyone out there who has, a massive thank you. Thank you everyone as well for the commission kind of work. Like I said earlier in the show, I love doing this commission stuff. So to all of my existing clients I'm currently doing work for or I've previously done work for, I'm so grateful. Thank you. You are literally supporting someone's dreams. If anyone out there is wanting, like some sort of a gift, Christmas gift, a birthday gift, even just something for yourself, please know you can always, hit me up and let's make something. Let's bring a concept out of your brain, whether that's like your favorite wrestler, your favorite match, your whatever batshit insane thing that you might have. We can bring that into reality. I really enjoy this stuff. I think in general, they're trying to make it as affordable as possible. If you guys do feel like a Chris Things art commission is something you would like, please hit me up. I would love to do that. Big thank you as well to the excellent team at Social Suplex. This show would not be happening if it wasn't for those guys. So I'm very grateful for having the platform to do this thing. Socialsuplex.com. You can check out a variety of other rad wrestling podcasts, from Keeping It Strong Style to One Nation Radio, Imps WWE Adventure, All Things Elite, the Trish and Sarah podcast, Tunnel Talk. Oh my gosh, look at that. I feel like there might be some I'm forgetting, but I've done a pretty good job of committing that shit to memory. So a little pat on my back there to the old Barry Horowitz. It's a fun time. I'm enjoying the journey, and I'm trying to not forget about enjoying the journey, enjoying the making, all this stuff. And I had some people reach out to me about what's going on with Wrestling Club, which honestly, that tickled me. That made me smile. The idea that people enjoyed this thing enough to where they want to know when the next one is happening. Ah, man, that's nice. But yeah, for all of any Brisbane folk out there, everyone who might be in Brisbane towards the end of the month, I haven't completely got it locked down yet, but we're very close. I have a new venue in mind that, if that all works out, I'll be super psyched. That'll be a really nice continuation of Wrestling Club after the closure of Brewski. Hopefully we can get something lined up for the end of the month before I depart overseas for a little Vietnamese trip with my dad, which I'm very, very looking forward to. But I got some work to get through between now and then. So this is the making time. So I better get started doing some things, really. I got some work to do, guys. All right. I appreciate every one of you. Thanks for listening. Hope you're digging this. I'll be back next week for some more Match of the Week goodness. And then let's not leave it too long between this and next time. More of the Wrestling Art Curator stuff. All right. Thank you, everybody. I will see you next time. Bye.
I do the hammer lock. I do the hammer lock. I do the hammer lock, you turkey necks. Yeah, do the hammer lock. I do the hammer lock. Everybody's doing it. Do the eye gouge. Yeah, do the eye gouge. Do the eye gouge, you turkey necks. Yeah, do the eye gouge.
That was lovely.
Cool.
Fall into big savings, all in the Kroger app. Get packs of juicy red, green, black, or tri-color variety seedless grapes for $3.99 each. Then get tender boneless chuck roast or steaks for $4.99 a pound, all with your card and a digital coupon. Shop these deals at your local Kroger, less than 5 miles away. Or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.